We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Twenty minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I, of course, am one of your hosts, Matt Fralick, alongside me, Janelle Mackey. It is the two of us this evening, Janelle, as we record pretty late on a Friday, just grinding out, you know, real podcasting hours. And a couple things to get to, but honestly, it's been a slow week. I know from, and I know this is a Packers podcast, Janelle, but there's other sports going on. I'm watching girls WIA basketball on TV, although the Rush Center is like 2 miles away. You're watching some, high school hockey. And this week, actually, our alumni, UW Green Bay, played in some local games. Unfortunately, the men lost last night to their rival from down south in Milwaukee, UW Milwaukee. The girls went on and beat, who did they play? I think it was Detroit Mercy, maybe Youngstown. They blew them up by like 30. Both games are at the Crest Center. Pretty cool environment to be at. But nonetheless, Janelle, March is for, you know, I would say the playoffs of athletics, whether it be amateur, mostly amateur, right? But truly, like, March is the time to kind of sift through the noise, sift through the BS, if you will. And we got some of that today. But, you know, your thoughts thus far as we get into March? I know it's like hockey, I know, is kind of a thing going on, but we got all these, especially high school Minnesota hockey. Like, I don't think anyone that doesn't follow hockey, I think most people are aware of what Minnesota hockey is and the I would say the cult following is behind there, especially with the hair.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal, and like, not just in Minnesota, like, you see it's streamed in like bunch of countries, all 50 states. So you can watch it even if you're not at the X. There's like over 20,000 people there for the games. It's just crazy, and people don't believe it when people talk about how it's as big, maybe bigger than like Texas football, because it just sounds like such an absurd statement. But can look it up. It is, you know, it's up there in that conversation. So this is always like a holiday week here in Minnesota, just, you know, streaming some high school hockey. Yes, the intros and the flow, and what are people doing? A lot of bleached hair this year. But everybody wants their, you know, their Sports Center moment. I've seen a few clips featured on ESPN, which is cool, except for the one that was against my team, but like, just cool sellies and stuff like that. So yeah, this is a huge week for Minnesota hockey fans. It's just a different environment if you are in this area and you ever have the chance to go. Highly recommend, because it's just, it's elite, and you get NHL players coming back to their hometown to go to the tournament. Players in the NHL who have played in this tournament talk highly of it. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. So yes, that is what I'm multitasking, this job as well as my 9-to-5 job, you know, streaming while I'm at my desk trying to, if I have to go to an appointment, kind of put it in my pocket and check scores. But yeah, this is definitely kind of the dry time for me, because it's like, I'm not a huge combine draft person, but hockey starts to really pick up this time of year. We got about a month left in the NHL season. Teams trying to make it to the playoffs, aka the Wild, who losing important games, got the trade deadline. So it's like a really big time for hockey. So that keeps me nice and busy while, you know, waiting for some fun Packers news to come out. I'm not sure kind of what you do with your time here. I know you used to also coach baseball, softball season's just around the corner. So that keeps me pretty busy while I wait for the draft time here. So it seems like it's slow, but the other things kind of pick up in the background here for me, thankfully, keep me nice and preoccupied.
Every time I hear someone discuss Minnesota hockey, like the tournament, the state tournament, it always just like, there's certain things that I know I've heard before, like 20,000 people. And it's just like, it's tough to comprehend that. And like when I'd never heard that it's streamed. And like, I mean, of course you can get it on a stream. When you say streamed, it's like on, like you can watch it online, or is it actually like, has a little bit more of a broadcast element where it's actually being pushed, or is it just like tons of people watch it from across the country? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, I can't remember where I read it. It was a few years ago, so I'm not sure of like the current statistics, but it was like 30 plus countries that it was streamed in, because you got to think hockey's really big over in Europe. There's KHL, there's Canadian hockey, like this just, it's huge. So it's really fun to see these guys kind of get their moment, and it's just such a hard thing to make it this far. So everybody gets a chance to play at the X. If you lose, you go play at a lesser arena, but everybody gets kind of their 15 minutes of fame to do their intros and to skate out and play on the X where the pros play. So yeah, it's a really big deal here, and people who aren't from here don't understand. It's really hard to kind of integrate that, but yeah, it's a huge deal here. So it's a lot of fun. And especially my alma mater made it this year, unfortunately didn't make it past the first round. So they're playing for the consolation championship tomorrow, or today as you're listening to this. But yeah, they went back to back when I was in high school. So it's a huge deal. They won it 20 years ago now, and they still talk about it. Yeah, it's Texas football, but hockey to try and compare it to, you know, our football base here. And if you don't believe me, let's chat about it. I'd love to have a conversation.
I love that. So Janelle, as we said, like, yeah, off season, I other things going on, you do too. We try to distract ourselves, if you will, with things happening before maybe free agency or the draft. And I would say something distracting that I saw on my Twitter timeline today would be someone, you know, and he's been known to do this from time to time. I think he knows how to stir the pot very, very well. And I appreciate, I can appreciate that from him. I would say
it gives us something to talk about. So you got to appreciate it. It gives us a topic and kind of, you know, you know, the whole quarterback situation being put to rest there, we kind of need that offseason drama to focus on. So very nice of Keyshawn Nixon to give us a little something to dive into the cryptic tweets about.
Very cryptic. And it would have been about, when was this? About 11 o'clock today, noon, maybe central time. Maybe a little bit after. Regardless, I digress. But he had four tweets in a row. Very strange. All finishing, mind you, all four tweets finishing with three dot, dot, dots, or just dot, dot, dot. Very just, okay, what are we doing here? So literally tweets out, why me? Dot, dot, dot. The next tweet is, I worked for it, dot, dot, dot. He goes, I envisioned this, dot, dot, dot. And then I reached all my goals, then mapped out some obviously more. Strange, odd, not sure. Honestly, if I were smart, I would have gone ahead and, like, I don't know, Googled those, maybe they're lyrics to a song that I'm not familiar with. So before I even consider doing that, let's just pontificate on it, Janelle. Any sort of correlation you're going to draw, Eli, he is international. We haven't talked about him yet. Where is he right now? Is he in Italy?
He's
in London.
Yeah, Eli, the most Eli thing ever. Thursday, we're trying to prep for what time we want to record on Friday. And he's like, by the way, I'm in London, can't record. The most Eli thing ever, the day before letting us know. I knew that he was going to London because he wanted advice on what to do with his cat while he was gone. Mm-hmm. So that's the only reason I knew, but I didn't know when he was going. So very Eli move to not let us know till the day before that he is in a very different country right now. So it's funny that we're talking about this, though, and he's basically sleeping and he's waking up to our messages like, I don't understand what's going on. Someone explain this to me. So he's still trying to give his input, but he is just as confused as probably most people reading these as they're coming in. And they all came in pretty quickly together. Mm-hmm. They're not very spaced out from what I'm seeing, just based on the timestamps.
They're within about minutes of each other. Yeah, so hilarious. And it's like, I can only imagine. I remember, Janelle, I think it was us three. Maybe Dan was a part of our trio at the time, but I was in Germany and I thought I was gonna be able to record with you guys, and I'm like, this would never work. And I appreciate Eli just going doing his thing, but like, the being disconnected, you're seeing these messages come in, maybe it's at midnight and I'm having a couple pints in or whatever.
It kind of makes you wonder, there's so many international Packers fans, like, that's how they find out their news. It's like the middle of the night, waking up to so like a 2 a.m notice or something. So yeah, it's just that little extra flair to these tweets is knowing that Eli's like trying to sleep and all of a sudden these cryptic messages are happening from our all pro player.
Unreal. Eli did chime in with his opinion though. And he said, you know, we got to bring him back. He's got to be on the team. So yeah, fair enough. I don't disagree. Like I think everyone's appreciated what Keyshawn Nixon has done. I think there might be this, you know, I don't want to call it an issue, but there might be a stigma around a player like this where he is kind of a special teams ace, was brought on the team for special teams, has an opportunities to like have filled in the defensive backfield. And they might say, oh, you know, you were there, you kind of did your thing for us. That's fine. But like, you're definitely not, when we have a full talent, not the best, you kind of get pushed into a box when it's like
hey, a Cordell Patterson situation.
Kind of.
You really excel at the special teams, but maybe not so much in your actual designated position.
Right. And then, but when given an opportunity, Cordero has had times where he's popped off, similar to Keyshawn. He's done stuff. But mm-hmm. yeah, like the special, I don't think you can get rid of him. I kind of agree with Eli. Like they got to bring him back. You know, he's unrestricted free agent, 2-time Pro Bowler. He's only 26 years old. I just feel like the way he has assimilated himself has been like incredible. And it's just like another one of those players for Goody to, you know, put his cap on. You could almost make the argument too on the opposite end though, like Goody did the same thing with Rasul Douglas, right? Got a cornerback that had kind of drifted around the league, brought him in, not a special teams guy, but is able to compete and get some starting spots, ended up flipping him for, I believe it was, what was a third round pick to the Bills. So yeah, I don't know what happens. I would like to see Nixon back, but we'll see what happens. I think there's going to be a lot of movement probably on that defense. And I shouldn't say a lot. I would say there's going to be movement on the defense, but probably more of it will come at the defensive back room. That's just my kind of my gut feeling based off where they're at with safety, some other younger guys at corner that they're going to maybe keep and they could let go of some other guys. So it'll be strange. I don't really know what else to say about other than he tweeted these things out and I'm checking.
It's kind of like, is Goody willing to sacrifice a spot only for a special teamer kind of thing? It, like, could that's be where you kind of wonder, you know, what kind of, if this is even about football, this is just, you know, us strictly from the outside looking in. It could have absolutely nothing to do with football or anything like that. Could be completely other stuff, but obviously based on what he's saying, it's easy to want to think about the behind the scenes and what's going on. So it kind of makes you wonder, like, is what he brings to the table worth like solidifying that 53-man spot?
Yeah.
Or does he hope to find somebody who can kind of be a dual threat in special teams and kind of be available on that defense as well? So, which is unfortunate that Nixon hasn't had a lot of those big opportunities in the defense. But last year, you know, there's just a lot of mix of younger guys, so we got more chances. It definitely just raises a lot of concerns, I'd say, because it's like, what does his future look like on the team and what is Goody willing to do to give him one?
Yeah. And I would just completely put the defensive back thing aside, right? Whether he ends up being a dime corner or the sixth corner in when they're in quarters defense or prevent defense, like they haven't been able to find a guy to return kicks, punts forever.
Right.
Why would you let him, like, either you're terrible at evaluating it, and you get so lucky eventually, like the lottery, or you somehow have cracked open this way to evaluate a return person now, and then you can maybe go ahead.
I feel like he flipped the curse where special teams was just so bad for so many years. You couldn't put like anybody back there. Randall Cobb comes back and even he's muffing it. It's like all these guys who are very talented players, it was just like a cursed position. So I feel like he has brought a lot of positivity and good, and obviously run a lot back, gain some yardage, help the offense out in those ways. That's huge, especially for such a young offense, to be able to have good field position like that. So I think it definitely makes you want to have someone like that back. I'm lucky enough to have watched him run one back right to the end zone. I was sitting in at Lambeau, so I know how electric of a player he is. It's just a matter of, like you mentioned, 26, he's not an aging player or anything like that. So it's just, is Goody going to try and find that same talent in a younger player that's already on the roster kind of thing, try and get any kind of capital for him? But you hope that, obviously Nixon has worked hard for that position. So it really makes you just hope that you want him back, but if he can't come back, I hope that he gets everything that he's worked hard for somewhere else.
Hell yeah. Well said. We both, did say he's 26 years old. I want to kind of just throw that out there that around this age, 26, you're hoping, I would assume, based off of other guys that have, get deals, you're hoping to maybe get another 3 to 5 year contract just so you can maybe this be your last contract. This would be your bigger contract. He hasn't had an opportunity to really find a consistent home throughout his career. We know that. I mean, he was on the Raiders for a stint, but now he's with the Packers. Like, if this could be your spot for the next 4 to 5 years, that's great. Not having to be a journeyman. He clearly, less of a journeyman than I was painting a picture of earlier, but that's just based off of him just being on the Raiders and kind of slept on a little bit. But I say that all to say maybe he's looking for a bigger deal. Maybe the Packers can't pay him. He wants to go somewhere else and be a returner. And he's got some leverage, I would say, based off his skill set. So Janelle, you mentioned the word capital, and I always love talking about draft capital, draft equity, draft whatever the hell value. I'm currently in the weeds in my own fantasy football dynasty league that no one gives a shit about, but I've been doing a ton of different trades in there. It's been an absolute blast, so shout out to the boys in there. And I will say that when it comes to the draft equity and draft capital, Brian Gutekunst never lacks any. We have 11 picks again in this draft. Everyone knows that, but the reason we're bringing it up is not only I did somehow force feed Rasul Douglas into this conversation talking about the pick that they got from the Bills this year, pick number 91 in the third round, but we found out their compensatory picks and where they kind of fall. We obviously know when players are signed elsewhere, that you get some money back, or not get some money back, you get some capital back. So we were able to determine today, based off of the league putting all those out, the Packers ended up getting a fifth rounder back in pick 168 for Alan Lazard. Sixth round was the pick of 219 they got back for Jaron Reed. And then the seventh round, 255, damn near at the end, compensatory, was for Dean Lowry. So those gentlemen walk, obviously, we know from last year in free agency, they sign elsewhere. Still have 11 picks. We knew we'd have 11 picks. It's just a matter of where they were slotted in with that fifth, sixth, and seventh rounder. So now they end up, Janelle, having, I'm not going to go through the exact number pick because that would be kind of annoying to listen to, but I'm just going to tell you which rounds. They have one first rounder, two second rounders, two third rounders, a fourth, a fifth, two sixth, and two seventh. You asked the question kind of leading into it, Janelle, right away. Like, he has all these picks before we hit record, right? You kind of candidly are just like, yeah, he always has all these picks. What does he do with them? Does he trade any? Does he trade up? Does he trade back? Where do they kind of prioritize things? I think it's really impossible almost to know that. I'm sure Goody doesn't know that. I'd safe to say he's pretty fluid with how he operates, but just knowing if I can buy low, sell high on a guy and kind of leverage where we want to get into the draft, it's awesome. But any gut feelings on maybe how they'll approach the draft with 11 picks, or if you, maybe I'm wrong, maybe they will pick all 11 picks, or maybe they'll acquire more and they'll trade back. But what are your kind of gut feelings? I know you're not super into the trenches, but based off of just trenches of the draft, but maybe how we've seen Goody handle some drafts before with a ton of picks like this.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's so wild thinking, like, what if he actually were to use every single one of those picks?
Would be wild.
It would be crazy. I know that there's the third round curse pick. So there's two, I think you said, in the third round this year. Maybe trade one of those. Try and, on, you know, it's going to be.
No, not one. Trade both. Just get out.
Trade both. Yeah.
I don't even worry about it.
Yeah. Trade both of them out of there. Don't worry about the curse. Get some players. But it's going to depend on how the board falls, too. And who he wants, where he can get them, kind of thing, the positions that are available with the guys that they're eyeing up. So yeah, definitely get rid of those third round picks, trade them up, trade them down. I don't care what you do. If there's a guy in the third round you think you can get in the fourth round, get him in the fourth round just to relieve him of the curse. But yeah, I mean, there, all the picks later on can definitely be, I'm sure, turned into something to try and move up to get somebody later in the draft that you're really eyeing up. Like I said, I'm no draft guru. I'm definitely a wait and see who ends up on our team and then go from there. Cause I'm somebody who believes that anybody can be a bust or a diamond in the rough. So I think that's just why I'm not like super heavily invested in the draft. Cause anybody can look good running the 40, running their routes, all that stuff. It's kind of just how you integrate into the team that you're put on. So I'm definitely a wait and see type of person, but it is really interesting just to kind of see how the front office is going to manage so many picks that they have this year and see what they can kind of turn that into, especially with such a young team already. It'll be really interesting. I know we've talked a lot about that DB room, probably trying to fill in spots there with the safety positions, all that stuff. So obviously they'll probably try and go get some linemen as they usually do, find some late round linemen, especially because we don't really know what Bakhtiari's status is. So try and go find the next great to protect Jordan Love all these years. But yeah, it's going to be super interesting just to see with that much, you know, capital in the draft, what they can maneuver with it. And I know I'm just kind of like rambling here because you don't know exactly what's going to happen. We all pretend like we know what's going to happen in the draft, and then the front office just completely wipes our asses with it.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason why I try not to get excited, because I'll start to get excited about a player and then obviously they don't take him. So what's the point of, you know, that heartbreak? It saves me a step there.
I agree.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting this year just with having such a young team, a very young, talented team, and now going in with 11 picks. Like, Goody has so much to work with. And then also the cap went up as well. So it's like between what Goody's going to do in the draft, what Ball's going to do, you know, with the cap, like there's just so much going on right now. And it works really well for such a young team when you don't, you know, you're not losing a whole lot of guys, having to pay a lot of guys because they're all still on those rookie contracts.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Like, well said. Like, no, I mean, you kind of hit it on the head. Like, there's a reason that people, you know, consistently do mock drafts even for first rounds, and no one can get a perfect mock draft. There's just weird things that happen that no one really knows that could happen. Only maybe a select few people in a boardroom somewhere, right? Front office staff that maybe five or six guys or girls, right? They know, hey, we're going to go ahead and get this guy because he's our dude. And all of a sudden we got intel that he's blah, blah, blah. Things just change so much. Or there could be
some we see like the weird oh gosh, who was it a few years ago? Like the gas mask.
Laremy Tunsil. Like, yeah, there's stuff that
like you just don't know.
Yeah. And it's very unfortunate in that, and I don't want to rant on this, but like it's very unfortunate that there's people out there, you know, within like a few days of the draft will actually use that to like sabotage someone else. Maybe it's like they're
right.
The guy they're the agent for a left tackle. Well, he's the second best left tackle, hands down. Laremy Tunsil's the best, or whomever. And all of a sudden, they're going to say that to try to do stuff. Like it's kind of gross. It's really nasty. But yeah, you never know what's going to happen. Maybe later, someone falls down the draft board for some ridiculous reason, and you're able to acquire someone. So for reference, I did have to go ahead and look this up because I knew for a fact, Goody has done a lot of that. Let me rephrase. Look. Goody has had a lot of drafts where he's picked a lot of people. Last year in 2023, he had 13 selections. 2022, he had 11. And then before that, it was like 9, 9, and 8. So safe to say it looks like, based off of the trend of the last 2 years, he will maintain those picks. Now, I will not get into the nitty-gritty detail to figure out if they had 13 picks and they didn't move around last year, if they traded up or whatever. I don't really reference that. All that matters is how many that they ended up selecting, in my mind. It's kind of a power of numbers game. And if you look anything into the last two drafts he's had with those selections, I mean, there are some incredible selections, you know, like when you go, like, I'm just going to go fifth round and beyond, like Kingsley Enagbare, Rasheed Walker. Like those are just two, like there's a couple other guys I could mention from there, but even like after that, Dontavian Wicks in the fifth round last year, Carl Brooks in the sixth, Carrington Valentine in the seventh, Anthony Johnson Jr. in the seventh, Grant Dubot, like there's guys that he's still grabbing late. So it's kind of, it would almost be stupid, you could say, to like let go of some of these guys, like, or right, not let go of some of the picks. So I would love to see what he can end up finessing his way through. But safe to say there will be movement because they have power. They have the opportunity to select. They have,
right,
you know, 5 picks in the top 100. That's massive. So I'm excited to see what they do. We only can theorize and predict and
right, you know, basically estimate. Until end of April, it's just going to be a lot of hypotheticals, hypotheses, like wishes and woes and all that good stuff that comes with draft season.
Yes, and no one better to be paired with than Eli for just random hot takes, things that you can never be discredited for 6 weeks out. Like just the perfect guy to record an episode with, because he's always going to have something that's like, okay, we'll wait and see. And then we forget about it and we can't call him.
Like nobody can be wrong right now. Nope. It's end of April that we find out how wrong people truly were, or how right people truly were. Cause there are some people who hit the nail on the head with a guy that they're really eyeing up at that combine, or just kind of from film, all that stuff, Senior Bowl, all the good stuff that you get to kind of compile together to determine who you would or wouldn't want on your team. So yeah, it's definitely a very exciting time for a lot of young guys. And then definitely for the hot take people, for sure. This is where they thrive, like Eli.
Absolutely. And you know who's someone that thrives in this time? And this is kind of a shameless plug for the entity that is Pack a Day Podcast, but it's truly because he does get some of these right, would be Andy Herman. Like he actually does nail some. Now, maybe it's a volume game there as well, but I feel like there's often times where he'll be like, I was just very confident, or
yeah, you get knew that
in the second or third, second or third round, they're going to draft this guy. Generally not maybe a first round, but definitely you just have a hunch that maybe the second day, you know, after the dust settles, after the exciting first round, it's like, okay, that's who they're going to go pick the next day, because it just makes the most sense based on how the draft fell and the board fell, and you have time to reset. And I feel like Andy crushes that the best
way. It definitely feels like this is a year where, like, we are not anticipating any kind of first-round wide receiver. Every year, it's felt like we're like, who's it going to be? Who's going to come in? And this year, it's like, if they don't, like, we don't need it. It's a very strange feeling knowing that we don't have to worry about the first round wide receiver because we don't need one. So now it's going to be interesting to see what position will they target. I think that's where a lot of the heartbreak has come the last few years, because there's been a lot of really talented receivers, but we have such a young receiver core that has a lot of talent, diverse talent. So it's like, all right, whoever wants them, like, we don't need them. Maybe this is the year that they get one, because we don't feel like they need one. And that would be a very Packers thing to do.
That would be wild. It would be nuts. And that's actually a really good point as we kind of get into this more. Like, it's nice to actually say, like, holy shit, they went ahead and got not only a first round receiver, but they had, you know, then the next draft, they go ahead and get all these receivers, and it's a nice volume thing. Maybe they do. This receiver class is really, really stacked. Like receivers, offensive linemen, like hands down, probably, maybe I won't say head and shoulders, but damn near it's probably the two best without a doubt. Like it's, I think there's a tier even break where some of these other guys fall as far as position groups. Now there's some of the top end guys, you know, you say Brian Bowers or, you know, Bowers from Georgia, the tight end. Then there's a gap between there. And then there's all these quarterbacks who I think are actually really talented too. There might, you could even make it maybe the conversation that all three of those positions, offensive line, maybe more tackle specifically, receiver and quarterback are heavy, but yeah, who knows? Maybe they go ahead and get a receiver, but we'll wait and see. Now that I have it on my calendar, Janelle, April 25th when the first round starts. So
the only like draft wish, like if I could have anything, would be Braylon Allen in green and gold. My Badger heart would love that. If you're gonna break my heart and not bring back AJ Dillon, repair it by finding a way to get Braylon Allen. And that's just wild. I'm a very biased drafty watcher because it's like all I do, I just care about where my Badgers go. And then if one of them happens to make it on the green and gold, then it's like Christmas for me. Very excited. So I know people are probably like, well, we don't need him. Like he's going to go early, going to go late. I don't even know where he's projected to fall. But for me, that would be really, really fun.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a great conversation we had. You know, it is kind of Homer, if you will, kind of like you're saying this, like you want them to come to Green Bay, but I don't think it's that crazy. Like he's a decent running back, more than decent. He's an absolute maniac. AJ Dillon's not going to be coming back. They need another running back. It's honestly going to depend where the other 31 teams value him. Do they think Braylon Allen's like this guy, or they want some guy that's a little bit more dynamic, like Will Shipley or Jonathan Brooks or a couple other guys out there that might fall into that bucket? But yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm excited to continue to, you know, to get into it more, hope and see where the draft may fall. Free agency, of course, there's a lot of movement going around the league, and you know, kind of rounding this episode out, we had some drama, quote unquote, if you will, on Twitter. And it was just the way we opened the episode or middle of the episode after we talked about hockey. But you know, other teams are not retaining their franchise quarterback that they traded, you know, the entire farm for. There's just teams that are in kind of dire straits right now when it comes to certain situations, whether it be front office, coaching, turnover, you know, quarterback play, etc. But the Packers seem to find themselves somehow in a really, really great footing. And just ultimately right now, as we head into 2024 from 2023, they find themselves in a position where they're ahead of schedule. And that is really, really fun to see. So, honestly, you guys, that's kind of the episode. Weird way to end that there, but like anything draft related, anything Packers related, obviously you know to listen to the Packaday podcast by now. We've done 2,000 plus episodes. If you aren't already on the YouTube side, please, I highly encourage to do so. The weekend is when I catch up on Packaday podcast. All the YouTube videos, they're clearly on Packaday podcast on the YouTube side.
Yeah, Andy and Ross and just all those
crushing it.
Yeah, it's. They will definitely provide you with your daily fill of draft content.
Definitely. And it's even a happy hour on Friday night, so you can get in the live stream, ask some questions there. It's fun. So we appreciate your support any which way you can, whether it's on the audio side by subscribing to, you know, Packaday Podcast on Apple Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Those episodes come out every single day, coinciding, as I said, with the YouTube side at Packaday Podcast. Creeping those, I think we're like close to 20,000 subs, or no, we are over 20,000 subs. We're just continuing to growing there. It's awesome. And then, of course, shout out Andy Herman. But for myself, you can still find me on Twitter at @Matt_Frey_. I am getting into more of mock draft season, if you will, some player evals, trying to determine where I think certain value is maybe in this draft and focusing on there. So definitely starting with the safety group, because I think the Packers need that. Not that there's a ton of value there, but definitely going and hitting in like the offensive lineman, because I think the Packers will definitely draft probably two in that top 100, if I had to guess. But I'm just throwing that out there. But as I said, you can still connect with me on Twitter, reach out. DMs are open, always down to chat anything related. I actually had a couple of cool interactions this week. Just some things even outside of Packers stuff, more like just like personal life stuff, business little situations going on. Someone reached out, so it's cool, it's fun. Janelle, let everyone know they can get in touch with you. Let them know maybe if they need to ever get recommendations when they come to Minnesota, what's the best way to take in the state tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. during this time here early March. If you're ever here, definitely buy tickets to the state tournament. I know it's usually the last minute is where I get my little hockey fix, but I did take up a little bit earlier of this show to talk about it. Yes, definitely hit me up anything hockey. A lot of big moves happening in the league there. I feel like now that I know you had mentioned Dynasty League, I'm in a Dynasty League now, so maybe I should pay a little bit more attention to the draft stuff, because otherwise I'll probably never win this league.
Honestly,
I'll be relying on the talent of the older guys, and I'll just be trading for, I'm like very much a, I know that person. I know that they've been good. I'm going to draft him. So maybe if you have guys I should look for to draft this year, because I did really bad in this league last year. Therefore, I have a high pick. So if you have any recommendations, I used to want to be that person that, you know, succeeded or failed on my own, but I don't want to fail again. So if you have recommendations, please let me know. But other than that, yeah, it's just, I'm really excited to see how things play out here. And I know we'll kind of get to Pack-A-Day, where it's the point of just consistent draft content every day. Right now, it's just kind of, you know, the cryptic tweets and the drama in the off season and some of the news we're seeing here. But a lot of people are putting in a lot of really great content here while we prepare for the draft, and it's awesome to see. So I'll definitely be trying to get my fix there to be able to better my knowledge on a topic that I am not very strong in. So that's what's really exciting about Packers Twitter, is that there's a lot of people who are really, really good in this specific area of the game. So definitely make sure you're following all that content. Pack-A-Day, just a lot of, you know, I think Zach Cruz over at Packers Wire always has really good content. So there's just such an abundance of content you can get out there. So even myself as a podcaster, I like to go find those as well, so I can, you know, open up my knowledge to a topic that, you know, may not be as easy for me to understand. So now that I'm in Dynasty, maybe I'll start reading a little bit more on that. But yeah, very excited to see who gets to rep the G this next season, and just kind of how things play out with Goody and the cap situation, the free agent situation, all that good stuff. The beauty of the off season that is this time of year.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Yeah, I'm just going to throw him out there again. Zach Cruz, shout out Zach Cruz, Packers Wire. I literally use him for so many things. Some of that even just being preparing for these episodes, or even just pulling certain information. He had a great article just about the Packers having, you know, the top five most equity in this draft, or capital, as Janelle had said. And yeah, shout out Zach Cruz and Packers Wire, always consistent. But for Janelle Mackey, I'm Matt Fralick. You guys take care, be well, enjoy the weekend however you are, and as always,
go pack go.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.